thankful for this opportunity to be with you. And we certainly appreciate what's going on before us this morning. The old songs of Zion that were played, been singing for so many years. We covered an interest in your prayer this morning. We appreciate Brother Joe's comments. And certainly we pause today and think about our mothers. And of course, in my life, it's a bittersweet occasion. But, this morning, I'm tempted to preach to you from the patio at 1100 George Trail, where I grew up. My mom and some of my family here this morning, my daughters, and, we're thankful to be with you in this capacity. We long for the day when we'll be at 3970, Primitive Drive again. I look forward to that time when we can rejoice, in fellowship with the saints of God together in that place. I ask you this morning too to pray for, my dear brother, Brother Lavelle Holt. I mentioned Brother Lavelle quite often. Not long ago, I conducted funeral services for his daughter, Sister Eva Red Zachary. That was his last child. All three of his children have been buried now. And Brother Lavelle turned 98, the 11th day of last month. And, Friday, he fell off of a ladder, trying to change the batteries in the smoke alarm in his home and sustained some internal injuries. They took him to the emergency room. Of course, sent his family away. And Brother Lavelle, they put him on the COVID floor. Because he had a little labored breathing just due to the fall, and he's back home now, but they're concerned about the exposure while he was there. So we ask you to pray for this dear brother. I know it's not a lot of time that a 98-year-old is carried to the hospital for falling off a ladder. We love this dear brother and ask you to pray for him this morning. Also, Brother Alfred Bailey, a deacon in the Bethany Association for many, many years, mentioned recently about his sixth generation that he's had to be baptized in Antioch Church at Forest, Mississippi. Brother Alfred is in a nursing home in Meridian, and his nurse tested positive for COVID a while back, and now he's in his 12th day of quarantine and running no fever. So we trust that he's safe. And certainly, as Brother Joe mentioned this morning, we give a debt of gratitude today to our mothers and the examples they've set, and what a blessing we've enjoyed in this life. And certainly, our heart goes out to those of you today who may not have your mother on earth anymore, as Brother Joe mentioned, and also to those of you whose mother may be in a nursing home or some type of facility where you will not be able to visit them today. Since we've been doing this in the midst of this pandemic, it seems like that so many of our messages have centered around a song we started with this morning that we've sung. Brother Melvin loved it. I feel like traveling on. Sometimes right now, my spirit to travel on seems to be diminished. But you know, when we hear through these means, we hear these brothers preach from coast to coast, and we're inspired and we lift it up to travel on a little bit farther. With that blessed assurance that my heavenly home is bright and fair, I feel like traveling on. This morning I want to read to you, I don't know who it was, but somebody I heard preach recently from John chapter 6. I mentioned this, and I've never dwelt on it as much as I should have and as much as I have this week, but I'm going to call to your attention in a few minutes. And we trust you've approached this service today with a very prayerful spirit. This morning I'm going to read to you first from 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. It says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who I am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. This morning I ask you, and I've thought about it many times, about who is our favorite Bible character. I can tell you unequivocally this morning, my favorite Bible character is the Son of God who came to this earth and took upon himself a body of flesh and made the sacrifice for us at Calvary that one day we'll be with him in a place that's called heaven. And what a day that will be. But also one of my favorite characters in the Bible is the man by the name of began to choose his disciples. The Bible says that he prayed all night. Then he began to walk beside the Sea of Galilee, and he's called Andrew and Simon his brother and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and the other apostles and disciples of Jesus Christ that he chose. This morning we'll look at Peter for a few moments. You know, in Acts chapter 4, beginning around verse 10, really the whole chapter, they're talking about an impotent man. At the beginning of the chapter, they talk about an impotent man that was made whole. And the Sadducees asked Peter and John, said, by what means is this man made whole? And they told him, because Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, that this man is made whole, that this impotent man stands today before you. You know, they said those Sadducees looked at Peter and they considered him to be a perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men. But they said, you know, that they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Now think about some of your favorite verses from the book of 1 and 2 Peter that Peter wrote unto us. And Peter's a great example for me to have a desire to travel on. And I encourage you to study God's word, especially during this pandemic. But we need encouragement as we move toward the time when we can join together again at the Lord's house and be together in fellowship. But I think about several verses that come from 1 and 2 Peter. One says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables, being eyewitnesses of his majesty. I think about the things that Peter thought about and the things he did in scripture, the things he was able to see. You know, there was you'll find as you read that Peter, James, and John were very closely associated, almost an inner circle with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Peter, James, and John got to see a lot of things and experience things while they were on the earth that others didn't see. And, you know, Bible historians tell us, it's not recorded in scripture, but historians tell us that Peter was crucified at the end of his life, and he requested to be crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy of dying the same death that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. He said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables, being eyewitnesses of his majesty. There's another in scripture that we talk about this morning. I want to call to your attention where he speaks in 1 Peter about how he's begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I thought about this morning as I sit here on my mom's patio and I look out across some land here that belonged to my mom and dad that they got through inheritance and also through hard work. And you know, one day part of this land will be mine if the natural progression of life goes on. But I'm not concerned about this land. I'm concerned about that inheritance that Peter talked about that is incorruptible and undefiled. That's a reserve for us in heaven and paid us not away. I remember years ago working with Fellowship of Christian Athletes and they had some resources that you could get and one video they wanted you to show to your students was a film or a video entitled Without Reservation. I can assure you the children in Bogotá didn't see that video. We have a reservation. This ignorant and unlearned fisherman knew about it. He said, we have an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Also, as we think about Peter this morning, let me see if I can think of another one real quickly that comes from 1 to 2 Peter. One, he talks about us being partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature through which we escape corruption in the world through lust. I'm thankful that sometimes we get to be partakers of the divine nature because this carnal nature is what weighs us down in this world. But I'm thankful that we have a divine nature that we enjoy and we're partakers of from time to time. He goes on there to say in that same passage of scripture says, giving all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity. He says, for that these things in you abound, that will make you, it will cause you to be either barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But you find there that Peter found out that it all begins with faith, and you add those other things to it. There's another place in 1st and 2nd Peter where he says, the word of this prophecy, I think it's either in 1st Peter 1 and 21, I know it's 2nd Peter 1 and 21, I think, maybe 1st Peter, but regardless, he said this, he said that the prophecy, this written book, that we are able to enjoy and study and glean, a great encouragement from. He said that this word of prophecy came in old times, not by the will of man, but as holy men of old spake, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We are so thankful for this book that the Lord has left for his children to read and glean comfort from as we sojourn in a life where we beset by the storms of this life, where we battle pandemic from time to time. And friends, I'm tired of this battle. I'm ready to go visit my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm ready to have fellowship again in a more traditional manner at the house of prayer. But I'm thankful this morning. You know, the Bible says, in everything give thanks. I give thanks this morning for this medium that we have right now to a fellowship from coast to coast, and we trust worship his holy name. Peter also, a couple more I'll mention. Peter told us that in the last days, scoffers shall come, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since our fathers fell asleep, things have continued as they were from the beginning of creation. You know, the sun came up this morning. The sun will go down this afternoon. The sun will come up tomorrow morning, Lord willing. Or not, maybe the sun will come back. And that won't happen anymore. But you know what I'm saying? It does seem like it continues as it was from the beginning of creation. Since our fathers fell asleep, as those of old, those scoffers said. But Peter gave us warning about that. The scoffers will come talking about these things. But friends, you know, I thought about, you know, a song that Brother R.E. Winstead wrote back in 1942 called Jesus is Coming Soon. That was written in 1942. I've heard that song many, many times in my life. That was 78 years ago. Will we be singing that song 78 years from now? I don't know, dear friends. But I can tell you this, I believe you talk about it, it's more what Brother Joe taught us, that our mothers have taught us, and my fathers have taught us. Friends, I can tell you this, I've been taught, Brother Wayne Myers taught me that the Lord is coming back, and you know why I know that? Because he promised that he would, and he cannot lie. Yeah, he's coming back. I don't know the day or the hour, but I'm looking forward to the day when he comes to get what he paid for with his precious blood and redeemer of the Father out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Now let's talk a minute about Peter. There were times, you know, Peter was, just like I mentioned a few moments ago, those Sadducees were kind of impressed a little bit by the boldness that Peter and John, particularly Peter, because a lot of times when a question was asked in Scripture, the disciples, the one that spoke out first was Peter. And there were times that Peter spoke in error. There were times that the Bible even points that out as we'll look at it in just a few moments. But I want to meet this old fisherman. I want to meet him. There were times that he was way off base. You think about the when he walked on water. When he walked on water. Sometimes I felt like we've been hard on Peter about that. Huh? But I've heard a minister say one time that at least he got out of the boat. And what did the Lord say to him? He said, oh, ye of little faith. Or why did you have little faith? As Peter took his stepped out of the boat when the master told him to come, he came toward the Savior and began to walk on water. But the Bible says, I think in Matthew chapter 14, when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink down, he cried out, Lord, save me or I perish. He wasn't talking about eternal life. He's in those tempestuous, in that tempestuous sea. But you know, sometimes we're critical of Peter. Sometimes I encourage us all not to take our eyes off Jesus. He will bring back a time when we can go to the Lord's house again and praise his holy name. And I look forward to that day as much as you do this morning. I can assure you, dear friends, there were many times. You know, Peter, his name, he was called several things in Scripture. He was called Simon. He was called Peter. He was called Cephas. We'll talk about another name he was called in just a few minutes. There wasn't a good time in Peter's life, but it was a very real time. You know, Simon, I mentioned in a message to preach how long ago, Simon, one meaning of the word Simon means is reed, like the plant that grew beside the river waters, and a very tender plant. But he changed his name to Cephas, which is Aramaic, like Petros, from Greek, which means a stone. That's the interpretation of it. And Peter was sometimes both. He was sometimes a reed that blew in the wind, and sometimes he was a stone. And I'm afraid in my lifetime, I can't speak for you this morning, but sometimes I'm afraid in my life I'm the same way. Sometimes I feel like I'm shaken by the wind. I'm bruised. I'm battered. But friends, I long to be a rock. I want to be, as Brother Joe said, I want to set examples. Brother Abbott Ratcliffe used to pray at our old church at Antioch. He said, Brother, I want to lead my life, and Lord, let me lead my life in such a way that if I saw my children or my neighbor's children walking in my footsteps, I'd be not ashamed. What a wonderful prayer that is, and it should be our guiding force in this life to set an example so that when our days are over on this earth, that those who knew us best will glean and benefit in the days to come, in the years to come, from the example that we've set. But the greatest example is Jesus Christ. Let's talk a little bit more about Peter this morning. You know, the Lord changed his name. The Lord said, "Thou shalt be called Cephas." But you know, after the resurrection, remember the Lord reverted back because Peter had denied him. He called him Simon, son of Jonas. He asked him three different times in John chapter 21, I think it is. He asked him, said, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He said, "Feed my lambs." He asked him a question again, "Feed my sheep." He asked that question again, and it said there that Peter was a little disturbed and a little frustrated by the fact that the Lord asked him the same question three times. But he said, "Lord, I know it's all things. You know I love you. Feed my sheep." I ask all of us this morning, does our life reflect the desire or the impression that we love Jesus Christ? And he is a guiding force and the greatest influence in our life. Let's look at some of the negativity for just a few moments, the times when Peter maybe was off base, when he didn't get it right. I mentioned one of them a few moments ago. You think about it many times in Scripture, particularly around John chapter 13, where Jesus Christ, this last evening on the earth, when he had the Last Supper, you know, at that Last Supper, Peter said, "Lord, thou shalt never wash my feet." And I've tried to look at that, and I've heard it preached from different angles. I've heard it preached or discussed it. Perhaps there was a sense of embarrassment about it. But I've heard ministers say, and I know that Peter didn't feel worthy for the man who could walk on water to bow down and wash his feet. But, you know, it got a little worse. You know, at that time, he said, as I'm going away, he said, "Lord, I'll go with you." At the end of John chapter 13, he said, "I'll go with you in prison. I'll go with you unto the death." He said, "No, you won't, Peter. Before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times." And you'll find that Peter followed Jesus Christ kind of closely behind that evening, and there, warming himself by a fire. There was a sister there that said, I know he's one of them. There was a brother there that said, yeah, he's a Galilean. He's one of them. And you know, it got there to the end, and the Bible says that Peter cursed and swore that he never knew the Lord. And he was looking at the fire. Jesus Christ was not far away. And he said, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered what the Lord had told him. And I think it says there that Peter went out and wept bitterly. There had to be a time there where he realized in his heart that he had let the Lord down. The frailties of this flesh. And I know at times I let the Lord down. And that's the last thing I want to do, is to deny my Father. He said, you know, we must deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. What about a Gethsemane? In that same night, actually before the two times that I just mentioned, he took Peter, James, and John there to the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Bible says that our Savior's sweat fell, as it were, great drops of blood. It fell to the ground, as it were, great drops of blood. And they asked him, he asked his father, he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done, O Lord. And you know, there are three different times that night, in that little span of an hour, the Lord prayed for a while and went back and checked on the ones that were supposed to be. You know, he told them, said, you sit here and watch while I go yonder and pray. And they went, every time he went back, they were asleep. They were asleep. His best friends on the earth had gone to sleep on him there in the Garden of Gethsemane in an hour that our Lord was praying so fervently that his sweat fell to the ground, as it were, great drops of blood. Think about this occasion. When the Lord, before this, the Lord had told him, said, I'm going to go into Jerusalem, paraphrasing here, but be captured by evil men. I will suffer many things. I will be killed and will be raised again. And you remember what the Lord told him there? The Lord told him, what Peter told him, said, Lord, surely these things will not come unto thee. And I paraphrase that a little bit, but as the Lord told him, he was going to suffer and be killed and be resurrected from the dead, be raised from the dead. Peter said, no, Lord, those things aren't going to happen to you. No, Master. And even when he changed Peter's name again. That's the only time he used this term, I think, in Scripture. But he said, get thee behind me, Satan. That had to ring negatively in the ears of Peter. But think about it. He denied Christ. He said, you'll never wash my feet. He said it. He went to sleep there in Gethsemane. On this occasion, he said, Lord, no, you won't have to suffer those things. And then another time that Peter, James, and John, I believe it was, got to witness. They took him up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And I give Peter credit because he understood and realized that was Moses and Elias, or Elijah there, upon that mount. But you know what it said? Typical Peter fashion. Remember what he said? He said, Lord, let us build three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, or Elias. And then the Bible says there, though, because he knoweth not what he said. He just said something. He didn't think about it. But, you know, we can look at the negativity of Peter. We can look at his frailties. And then, you know, sometimes I look in the mirror and I think about, Lord, all the times that I've let you down, the times that I didn't honor you and keep you first in our life. You know, the Bible says that he deserves preeminence in all things. Let's talk a little bit about the good times of Peter, the times when he definitely got it right. Look with me. Think about over in Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, they ask him, he went there, Peter and John went there this time about the ninth hour. And there was a man there that had been impotent from his mother's womb, been lame from his mother's womb, and unable to walk. And as he walked by, this man looked upon Peter and John, and the Bible says he was desiring something of them. And Peter looked at him and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. Take up thy bed and walk. And he immediately, his ankles gained strength, and he jumped up and followed him into the assembly. And the Bible tells us that the people that were there to worship and had seen that man there in that condition many times, had probably given him money to help him with the natural provisions of this life. He went into worship with them, and then Peter asked him, they earnestly looked upon Peter and John, and I may have to turn and get it, but it said something to the effect that, why you look upon us in this manner as if our power or holiness gave this man the ability to walk. Peter was right on target there. He said, don't you members of this congregation look to Peter and John as a giver of this great gift? Because we acknowledge again that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father above. Think about this one in Scripture this morning. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 17, I think it is. Matthew 16 and 17, the Lord asked this question. He said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And his disciples began to give answers. And some says John the Baptist. Some say Jeremiah, I think it says there, or Elijah, or some of the prophets. I forget exactly the ones that were listed there, but I know it said John the Baptist, but it said this. Peter said, then he asked his disciples, said, who do you say that I am? And Peter gave the best answer that could possibly be given. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the true and living God. And what did the Lord say to him? You've heard it many times at the Lord's house, and you read it many times. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Today, dear friends, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I can tell you unequivocally this morning that the old elders of your church, those examples of the flock, the ones that oversees the heritage that we've been given, they didn't give it to you. They've been the vessels of conveying it to you. Lord, may use them as instruments to convey and to preach his word. But if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, understand, as Peter understood, that flesh and blood is not revealed that unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. Think about this one for just a moment in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we find an amazing sermon that was delivered by this old ignorant and unlearned fisherman by the name of Peter. He preached on the day of Pentecost, where the saints of God had gathered together in one place, and there was the sound of a mighty rushing wind that came in on that occasion. And they were pricked in their heart, and Peter preached unto them. He said, save yourself from this untoward generation. He told them first, before that he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. And this promise is good to you and your children and as many as there are afar off, and even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Think about that this morning. Think about that. What a wonderful message that is. And we find on that occasion that 3,000 were baptized. I heard Brother Hugh Sanders talking about before about laborers and getting ready for a meeting, working in the flower beds, working in the kitchen, cleaning the church, preparing the house of God for a fellowship with the saints. And I've heard Brother Hugh says the best tired you can experience. I can't think of a better tired, Brother James Conley, than to baptize 3,000 people. What a blessing that would be to be there. I'd love to have been able to witness what happened on that occasion. There's another time. Think about it. And I want to mention in Acts chapter 12, one other time where Peter got it right. He was in prison. James, the brother of John, had been beheaded. And Herod realized that because it had pleased the Jews so much, he apprehended Peter, put him in prison, and was going to do the same to him after Easter, after the Passover feast ended. And the Bible says they put him in the inner prison with four quaternions of soldiers, 16 soldiers guarding that prisoner to make sure he didn't escape. And the Bible says that while he was there, he was laying in that prison bound between two soldiers, and he was sleeping. How can you sleep when you're on death row? He understood something else the Lord had told him on another occasion. Said, talking about when you're old, Peter, some things that would happen. Peter understood that he was going to become an old man. He probably didn't know exactly how at that time, but he was there in that prison. And the angel of the Lord came and woke him up and said, get your sandals on and let's get out of here. And they went out and the gates opened of their own accord. And they went out into the streets and they went to a house where John Mark's family lived. And they were there praying. And a damsel named Rhoda came to the door and you know what they were praying for. As a matter of fact, in chapter 12, verse 5, it says that prayer was made for Peter without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Oh, I can't tell you what a blessed condition Peter was in, although he was in prison, in solitary confinement almost. He wasn't solitary. He had two prisoners there that he was bound to, but he was released from that prison. He went to John Mark's home and Rhoda came to the door and said, Peter, he went back and told him, said, Peter's at the door. And they said, thou art mad. You crazy, Rhoda. What were they praying for? And when it came, they didn't even want to believe it. But they let Peter in, and he told them exactly. He declared unto them that the Lord had released him from prison. You remember what Herod said? There was a time in the scripture where Herod had desired for a long season to see Jesus Christ, hoping to have some miracle done of him. On this occasion, the Bible says the next morning, as they realized Peter was escaped and was not in the prison, there was a great stir among those at the prison, and Herod commanded the death of the soldiers who were there to guard Peter and make sure that he didn't escape. Friends, if the Lord be for us, who then can be against us? I want to close this morning and look in just a few moments in John chapter 6. And I want to mention something again where Peter definitely got it right. In John chapter 6 is a pretty long chapter. It's we find in this chapter where the Lord fed the multitudes. He went to the mountains, and there were some followed him, and some followed him just as Herod wanted, because see what they could get from the Lord. As John F. Kennedy said, that's not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. I invite you to do the same thing today, because the Lord's already done enough for us. He's done enough. If he doesn't do anything else, he's done enough. We know he's coming back to get us. He's prepared a place for us in heaven. But don't ask what the Lord can do for us. Ask what we can do for the Lord to serve him better in the future than we have in the past. But you know, they fed the multitude, and they had 12 baskets left over, and there were those following him because of the miracles of the loaves and the fishes. Over, as you get a little further into John chapter 6, he begins to preach about the bread of life. And sometimes in scripture, in my efforts to preach, I mention quite often some passage of John chapter 6 where it says about where he came down from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent me. And my Father's will is this: all he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. I've heard that verse, that passage mentioned many times across the years in worship time. But then in John chapter 6, beginning about verse 54, it says, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." His disciples said, that's a hard saying. When Jesus, viewing himself and his disciples, murmured at it, he said unto them, "Does this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" He's talking about going back to heaven. That's where he came down from. We can't even understand that. This morning, he said, you know, that's where he said, "I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." He was sent by God to sojourn upon this earth. He lived here a little over 33 years, and he did exactly what he came to do, to purchase and redeem us unto the Father out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And, you know, I'm understanding it's kind of a hard saying. What is he talking about there where he says, "Who also eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day"? He gave us an example over there a little later, about seven chapters over in John chapter 13, about the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. But I won't get into that this morning. I do want to continue in 65, verse 65 through 69 this morning, and make a few comments as we close. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" He said to the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Guess who spoke up first? Not surprisingly, so then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." I try to convey to you this morning, there were times when Peter was off base. It said there on the Mount of Transfiguration, not knowing what he said. He just blurted out, "Let's build three tabernacles." I tell you this morning, Moses and Elijah did not need a tabernacle. We have a tabernacle for our Savior, Jesus Christ. And even if we have to meet like this for a little while longer, I'm thankful for this wonderful opportunity to be together with some of the saints of God. But I ask you this morning, I want you to go back and pay close attention to that. He, as he asked his 12, will ye also go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Right now in the midst of a pandemic, what other option do you have? What better option do you have? There were some that tried it. You know, I think about those in Scripture. Jonah, one time, was told to go preach to a wicked city. I've never had to try to preach to a wicked city. I've tried to preach to those who are blood-bought heirs of Jesus Christ, who have the great desire to worship and serve Him with their body and their spirit, which belong to God. But you know, if you look at the map, he was supposed, he went to Joppa and bought a ticket. He's supposed to go 450 miles northeast. He bought a ticket and went 2,500 miles, but that's where he was going, to Tarshish on the other end of the Mediterranean Sea, over at Spain. But what did he say in Scripture? You remember what happened to Jonah? He tried to run from the Lord. He asked Peter, he asked his disciples, where are y'all going? Are y'all going to turn you back on me too? And Peter asked him, Lord, where will we go? We don't have another option. Jonah tried it, but what did he say? Out of the belly of hell, cried I. Demas forsook Paul, having loved this present world. I don't know that Demas ever came back into service to his Lord. I know that Onesimus departed for a season, but he came back. John Mark departed for a season that I mentioned earlier. He came back. You know, I got some friends, the people I'm around, and my colleagues in my office, we talk a lot about religious stuff and about the pandemic and how we're having church services and the blessings of that. I got some friends of another faith and order that the church means so much to them. They've been having drive-in services. They just started last Sunday, I think, or Sunday before last, and they have, they're on the parking lot of the church, and speakers set up, and it's over a radio. You can pull up and listen. They talk about how much better that is, but they were talking about some of the young members of the church, weren't coming. They conveyed to the pastor and to the deacons and the leadership of the church that we enjoy, just sitting in our living room and listening to the sermon. I enjoy, being on my mom's patio today, but I can tell you this, this pales in comparison to being back at the church. Where else do we have to go this morning? We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I think about a couple other worldly examples this morning. I thought about during the Civil War. I remember hearing this story one time that during the great violent conflict of the war between the states, there was a minister from the northern states that counseled and advised President Lincoln. And he made this statement that, President, I pray the Lord is on our side. And he said that President Lincoln's response was, I know that our Lord is on the side of right. He said, my constant anxiety and prayer is that I and this nation are on His side. We know He's for us. We know He's for us. Are we for Him? Are we praying fervently for the day when we can return to the Lord's house? I remember another account one time, and I don't remember many details about it, but there was a physician that was recognized as one of the greatest physicians in England many, many years ago that contracted some type of disease, and he sought medical treatment, and he went to this prestigious clinic where medical services were offered, and he before they exchanged names, he asked him, said, told him his condition, and said, I'm praying that you can heal me and help me get over this dreaded disease. He said, I'll be honest with you, I think that's out of my league. You need to go see, I think his name was Dr. Darby. And this patient said, I am Dr. Darby. We need help. We need help. David cried out one time, I'm going to look to the hills. From whence cometh all my help? Pay attention to this morning. Go read it. Read it every day this week. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Are you satisfied to worship over Zoom meetings in your living room or wherever you may be gathered this morning? I want more. He said, will you also go away? Then servant Peter answered him, the Sadducees perceived he was an ignorant and unlearned man. Don't sound like it right here. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. I long to see you again. I pray for you today on Mother's Day. Particularly those of you, I think about Sister Christine's family this morning. It'll be a lonely Mother's Day for her. Continue to pray the Lord will bring us back. And again, I ask you this morning, what other option do we have? Where can we go? Only to the Lord. That's the only option we have. I trust this morning, if you got anything out of what I tried to preach, you give the Lord all praise, honor, and glory, for it's due Him. But pray fervently that the Lord will bring us back together soon. And there'll be rejoicing in Zion. We talk about the word unprecedented. A lot of the stuff we've had this year has been unprecedented. I trust the zeal we experience in our church when we go back will be unprecedented in my lifetime. But there'll be a great zeal to serve Him. Brother James, take charge. God bless you.